Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson last week and once again today, as well as for several weeks during this month of September and the month of October, according to the common lectionary, is from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet. Jeremiah was a preacher. And he could find a sermon illustration in almost anything. So the word of the Lord came to him. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. Verse 6. That's really quite an image. And for us who have never made a clay pot from sitting at a potter's wheel, let me use the image of using Play-Doh. You can take it out of its can and roll it up in a ball on the table. You can squash it with the palm of your hand. Then you can mold it into a pot or a bowl or anything else. You can pinch the sides together and smooth out the cracks and make it rounded. And if there's a mistake, well, just wad it up into a ball all over again, roll it around on the table, and start again. That's the real beauty of Play-Doh. As long as you remember to put the lid back on the can, it's reusable. Over and over again, the same glob of Play-Doh can be a bowl or a steak. Or figure anything your little heart desires. I was sharing with a friend of mine that I was going to use this illustration of the Play-Doh. This fellow's 80 years old. He hunted around. He found a can of Play-Doh, which he's had for a long, long time. But because the top was still on it, it was still good. Play-Doh, you're the potter. You are the master of that Play-Doh. And Jeremiah thinks of God like a potter. That's good news in some ways. If we are the Play-Doh in God's hands, then God can keep working on us until we turn into something which is pleasing in God's eyes. Maybe even be made into God's image. God delights in it just as a potter delights in his craft, like a child delights in her new creation. But Jeremiah offers a warning as well. If we like Play-Doh in God's hands, then God can also squash us on the table. God could say to Jeremiah, I will pluck up and break down and destroy nations and kingdoms. Verse 7. If God is the potter, then doesn't God have ultimate control over the clay? Well, as a good Presbyterian, I have to say yes and no. Because as humans, we have a distinct advantage over clay. Not only are we turned by God on the wheel, but we can also turn ourselves. As human beings, we have a distinct advantage over clay or over Play-Doh. Not only are we turned by God on the wheel, but we can turn ourselves. Not only are we in the hands of another in shaping us as with Play-Doh, we can shape our own lives. I remember a person said to me one time that God made a mistake in giving us free will. Maybe I could agree with him sometimes, maybe often. Certainly looks that way. Because some of the choices we make as individuals are really dumb and stupid. Neither in our best interest nor that of those for whom we're responsible or are responsible for us. I think of an individual I know who a few years ago was signed by a Major League Baseball team. He came out of Deer Park. Signed by this baseball team for what seemed to be the strong possibility of a significant career as a pitcher. He hurt his pitching arm, he was put on pain-relieving medicine, and went from that into heroin. He became addicted, spending an amount of $200 a day. You may have read this in the newspaper about a year and a half ago. He and a friend then got arrested for a number of bank robberies, and serving time still has not helped him to arrest his addiction. Choices made and bearing the consequences of those choices, that the originally beautifully shaped and useful pot became seriously marred and needed to be broken down and then restored as something new and different. And I am sure that God the potter is not through with that young man yet. And even as that is true of individuals, I believe that's true collectively of communities as well, whether we're talking about a community of faith or whether we're talking about a nation. And often we don't know the right choices to make when we are confronted with needing to make a choice. I know of a congregation that had a very dynamic ministry for several decades in an urban situation. And then that urban situation changed. It changed drastically. And the church in it presented no more a ministry that really served that particular community in terms of the shape and ministry of that congregation. In a sense, that church needed to be broken. And something new needed to be shaped at the potter's wheel. A new vessel to serve the new needs in that particular area in that city. Wouldn't it be great if God just made the decision for them, but in their God-given freedom, they became the necessary element to make necessary changes at the potter's wheel. This past week, I turned on the TV to hear our Secretary of State, John Kerry, appear before a subcommittee of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, dealing with that horrible situation in Syria, and particularly that government's use of chemical weapons on their own people. President Obama and his administration contemplating attempting to wipe out those weapons without sending in foot soldiers. And during this past week, I have been receiving an almost unbelievable number of mails from different groups with which I have some affiliation. Some supporting this action, and some rejecting taking such action. Is this pot, which we label limited military action in Syria, to be used, or does it need to be reworked to fashion a different strategy for that tragic situation that exists in Syria today? Well, I got to find some good news in this. This seems to be a very down type of sermon. But the good news is that God chose to be affected by our favor. God by our behavior. God chose to be fully responsive to our human choices and actions. On the sixth day of creation, so the story goes in the book of Genesis, God did not make clay pots. God made living, breathing, walking, talking, even talking back, earthlings. And furthermore, the good news is that God does not abandon us in our wrong choices, whether we're talking about individuals or churches or even nations. Just like the potter can reform the clay over and over and over again, God can still work with human beings and with institutions until we're dried out and we're stiff. As long as the clay is damp, there's hope for turning. As long as there is openness, as long as there is the desire to become rather than being locked into present being, as long as there is life, there is hope. You know, maybe I could have titled my message this morning, Life at the Wheel. For to live in God's presence as individuals, or as a community of faith, or even as a nation, is to continually take shape as God's people. In the ongoing process of thinking and reflecting and becoming, constantly committed to be all that we have been created to be, seeking direction through prayer, listening to that voice deep within, interacting and listening to and receiving alteration in our planning because of our interaction with others and with the Spirit of God. Of course, if we don't want to risk change, if we don't want to move into some new challenge, if we don't want to find ourselves cooperating with others whose opinions we sometimes have devalued, then we better stay away from that wheel. And certainly we better not let God get his hands on us, because God is not going to let us go until love and hope live at the center of our lives and the center of our church life and the center of our life in the larger community. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, quote, "People want to be settled, but only to the extent that they are unsettled is there any hope for them." As I was writing this message, I couldn't help but think of an old hymn we used to sing back in my youth days at Randolph Heights Presbyterian Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. Let me first share the story behind the writing of the hymn. Adelaide Pollard believed that God wanted her to go to Africa as a missionary, but she was unable to raise the funds to go. In a very uncertain state of mind, she attended a prayer meeting where she heard an elderly woman pray, "It's all right, Lord. It doesn't matter what you bring into our lives. Just have your own way with us." And at home that night, much encouraged, Adelaide Pollard wrote a hymn. The year was 1907. "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it," that's the key word, "while I am waiting, yield it and still. Amen.